right.
So, here we are.
Here we are. Finally on a Competent Conversations podcast.
Yeah, you know, on this podcast, we do things a little differently. We start by saying, welcome, everybody, to the Competent Conversations podcast.
Right?
Right.
My name is Saquon. I got my boy Chad in the building tonight.
Yeah.
Our goal for this conversation, as any other conversation, is to enlighten others so that they can be the best versions of themselves. And the reason why I have Chad today is because Rashard is so busy doing all his other like entrepreneurial efforts. So I got a little guest host tonight. Plus, we want to talk about this Eminem album. And Chad has been one of these fans of Eminem for such a long time. Bigger Eminem fan than I am. So I figured I'd get him on the show and we do this episode for you guys. Before we start, though, I do want everybody to check out the Novi clothing line. You can find that on Rashard's page. It's Rashard.nail on Instagram and Freedom Fit Coaching, freedom.fit.coaching on Instagram. Check out the links, check out the clothing, buy something, enjoy that. All right. Eminem's new album, Music to be Murdered By. I want to start by saying I was up at nighttime playing some type of video game or something, looking at my phone. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, and Google said, check out this Eminem album. Yo, I tried to play it on, on Google Play Music, and it wasn't there, but it was on Apple Music. So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go get some sleep, tune in the morning. When I listened to it, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe what I'm hearing. It's a great album.
Yes. And
since the days of it released, I've been bumping this album nonstop. But we're going to tie some political and other issues into this podcast as well. So I want to try to break down the album in those little steps here. First off, let's address the political issues here.
Okay.
I didn't hear the Donald Trump thing mentioned one time. And I think it's because he learned his lesson from Revival. And he also tried to address that issue again on Kamikaze. So he's learning in his ways. But maybe it also has something to do with Donald Trump being impeached.
Yeah, I could see that being a thing, right? Because his whole position on it was always, forget that guy, right? Like, he's not the man that should be in power. So maybe he's letting off because the mission is complete or almost there, right? Or then again, it's just the, all right, well, trying to give you something to think about, food for thought, and everybody just keeps dismissing it. So whatever. We'll see what happens after all the smoke clears, right? So there's the kind of the two approaches to it, plus the other situation surrounding Trump and the situation that the U.S. as a whole is in now overseas. It kind of harkens back to when Toy Soldiers came out.
What about Toy Soldiers? Because, I mean, my takeaway from Toy Soldiers was when he was talking about, like, kind of redeeming himself from the issues regarding rap beef, you know, with Benzino and Ja Rule. What was your take on that?
It's tough because he was going through a lot around that time, right? The constant lawsuits, loss of a friend, the back and forth with the beef, the fact that it was stretching into realms that he kind of didn't want it to be, where everyone was taking pop shots at his daughter.
Was that the, you said loss of a friend, so was that when Proof died?
Proof died around that time, yeah.
Okay.
Or shortly after? No, it was around that time, pretty sure.
Because that's when he took that hiatus and then he came out with Relapse and Recovery, right?
Okay. Yeah. Because Toy Soldiers was like his last big hit before the hiatus.
Yeah. It was kind of like melodramatic.
And like I said, that's when we were in a continued war, and that there was hints of that aspects in the music video, if I remember correctly. So there's just a lot going on for him and in the world in general. So it's just it's one of those things where we got to see a different side of the everyday M.
Right. And like the everyday M is just like the I don't give a fuck, still don't give a fuck, I'm back. My name is Slim Shady. I'm just naming these songs right now so everybody knows like this is like the true essence of M. Criminal, guilty conscious, like the bizarre things that he says, it's because he wants to say it. It's not to create controversy, it's because
No.
he's an artist in his own lane and this is what he wants to say. Because Eminem doesn't make music for us, he makes music for himself.
Exactly.
When he started making music for us, that's when everybody started criticizing. You can't say this, you can't say that. It's like, when did the world become so sensitive? The guy was gone for 4 years, and now all of a sudden it's like a new world. It's like Captain America waking up like 70 years later, like, well, what's going on, guys? The war's over? What?
Well, the other part of that too is like you said in a discussion we had before where we made that comparison to M and Chappelle, two cats that both just say whatever the fuck they want to say, but to an extent there's some underlying meaning behind it, and everyone taking it the same for both of them, right? Everybody got soft, they're taking it a certain way, they're reading into it way deeper than they should be, or in on the wrong side of where they should be reading deeply into it. And the thing is that M is a superstar. Even when he was on hiatus, he went out as Eminem the superstar. So when he comes back, everything he does is still judged at that level. And I don't think in his mind he's like, well, I'm not a superstar anymore. I was a superstar before because I said some shit the world hasn't heard. Now they should be used to it when I come back and I say these things. Like, why are you still getting upset?
Yeah, I get that. I think the biggest thing is he gained a new amount of fans. He gained fans that were younger and didn't know his older music. So when he gained new fans, they never researched what this man is capable of. Like I'm trying to think about like when he came back with like 2009, right? With Relapse. When he came back off of that 4 year hiatus, there's kids that grew up within that 4 years of time, you know what I mean?
Well,
So people who, I'm sorry, people who could have been like, say like freshmen in high school, now seniors, and you're like, oh yeah, this Eminem guy, I remember him. Let me hear him again, type shit. So now they have like this new fan base for Eminem, and they don't understand what he's capable of and why he says the things he says.
I think it's a part of that. Definitely, especially since his road to coming back, he teamed up with Lil Wayne and Drake when that was like it. You know what I mean? Like that was the mainstream thing. So to get on with them, especially with Drake kind of birthing this new style that everyone was stealing, then you got Eminem coming out and doing this stuff, and people are listening to what he was putting out at that time, and they may not have, like you said, they may not have been around to hear him when he first came out. Or they were around and never listened to it because of all the controversies that were out there, and they just wrote him off. And then here it is, they're hearing these lines about, kids getting bullied, but it's not kids getting bullied, shoot up the school. It's it's kids getting bullied. All right, well, I'm not taking it anymore. I'm gonna stand up for myself. Same message, just without, the extra M sprinkled on top of it. Right. So now they're listening to that, and now this is what they set as the expectation because it's, oh, well, this is how he presented himself. So this is how this is what we expect to hear all the time. But then you have the original fans in the stands who are like, yeah, that's cool and all, but we gonna need some bars.
Right. So like the biggest thing with that is like when Eminem does songs like Toy Soldiers, Sing for the Moment, what was the one Hummingbird, Mockingbird, and then
Stan.
Stan, 25 to Life, just thinking off the top of my head. Even Love the Way You Lie, right? When he does songs like these, it could be pop infused or it could just be the melodramatic songs. People understand what he's going through because these are situations we can relate to a certain level. Maybe not Stan so much, but like these kind of stories he paints, we can relate to, and we love that side of M. But again, like you said, that core fan base, they're looking for that gritty, raw, say whatever the fuck you want to say, Eminem. And I think about that, I think about the I'm back lyrics when he was talking about J-Lo. That's why I start laughing. Whatever you want to
Yeah, he says some outlandish stuff, but it's not just that he's saying outlandish things, right? It's the way that he says it. And I tell it to people all the time, like, and I've been listening to Eminem since he first came out, right? I'm not a stan. I'm not like the biggest fan in the world, right? But I listen to all of his stuff whenever. And the albums I keep going back to are the ones that I first started listening to because I have a lot of memories attached to them,
Right.
right? But in actually diving a little bit deeper into the lyrics and hearing out stuff like when he calls out, his top 10 greatest rappers on any, throughout his entire catalog.
Right.
And you hear certain names keep coming up, like when he's like, oh, well, Reggie, you put Reggie first. And it's like, Reggie, Reggie, Reggie. And I was embarrassed when I didn't know it. And I should, because Redman's from my time too. And I listen to Redman, best rapper from Jersey, right? So I started going back through his tapes and going past the ones where I was introduced to Redman, going way back. And like, I'm listening to everything. I'm looking at how the albums are laid out and I'm listening to the skits, like every little detail. And I'm like, yo, this is where M gets it from. Like, this is who he modeled himself after. This is why most people, when they heard his sound, while it is different, right? They weren't fully used to the off the wall, just wild stuff because they weren't listening to Redman like that. And so I get
Makes
it,
sense.
right? So he's the essentially the next generation of like what Redman was doing, and he blew up much larger, right? So there's just a certain element to that, and with that wordplay and his ability to craft a story, even when it's nonsense, right? So that's why I can respect, like, all right, we all know Relapse was not, it's not a great album, but it was funny. And I'm sorry anyone who finds offense in that, but it was funny. It's a funny album. But he paints such a clear picture, even with these songs that weren't up to his own caliber, admittedly, right? Still paints these pictures, and it's great to see someone be able to do that with words.
Right. I remember having a certain album when you were in high school, right? Or even junior high school. You would try to like link up with your friends and be like, yo, I got this new Jay-Z album, I got this new whatever album, Tupac's got a new album. And they were rated R and you'd heard the shit and you'd be like, yo, this shit is dope. Cause they wasn't really saying anything crazy, right? It was just certain explicit words. They didn't have explicit concepts. I never had an Eminem album, right? But I know there was a run at the same time, like parents wouldn't allow kids to buy Eminem's albums. You could get another rated R album, but you can't get Eminem's rated R album.
If I remember, M's album was like, I believe it was banned from Walmart. Like, his stuff was banned from a lot of places, and that just added to the hype of like, I gotta hear this, because only people getting banned at that time were M and Marilyn Manson.
And those are the things that's like, as a kid, you kind of want to feed into the hype, like, yo, what am I missing? They taking this away from me. I need to hear it. And now we hear it. And I got to say, like, a lot of people are taking offense to this made, what is it called? Music to be Murdered By, this album here. And the biggest thing they're finding offense with is his wordplay in regards to the Ariana Grande situation at Manchester.
Which, all right, it's
Before we go ahead and offend anybody, I want to say it with the truest intentions. We just want to explain, not offend.
yes.
Sorry. Continue.
Okay. So I can understand the backlash, and I would understand it and respect it more. Not saying, not taking away from anyone whose family was a part of that or in the vicinity of it. These are terrible things, right?
Yes.
But you complain about that one line that goes by so quickly, and M has an entire song about the Nevada shooting.
Yes.
And no one says a word. And that's the one that I thought, like, even because I've only listened to it twice. I'm slacking. But
Yes.
when I heard it both times, immediately from the gate, I was like, oh, this is the one where M is gonna get in trouble this time around. Like, this is the song that's gonna get him in trouble. I can see it right now. But it's a necessary song, right? And I think even that line, as controversial as they're making it out to be, which it shouldn't be that big, I get it. Slap them on the wrist, say, hey, this is a no-no. But at the same time, we need to be talking about things like this because it keeps happening, right? You can't slap M on the wrist for mentioning it and bringing it up and then kind of praise like Jim Jeffries when he talked about the gun control thing, because they're all connected.
So my take on this line, I like to think that Eminem, he's creative in his ways, right? We don't tell Steve Jobs how to create the iPhone. We don't tell Bill Gates how to create software. And a certain lane of creativity, you try to push the envelope and see what is acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Yes.
Apple does it all the time. Facebook does it all the time. Facebook invades privacy.
Yes.
Say it louder for the people in the back. And Apple is not too far from Facebook, but that's fine. We accept it. This line is him being creative in a way because he's painting a literal picture. But it's also metaphorical because he's saying, I'm contemplating yelling bombs away on the game like I'm outside of an Ariana Grande concert waiting. So I literally see him outside the concert waiting, and he's metaphorically aligning it with his mindset of just blowing off the game, like bombs away, like just exploding on the game, you know, like, do I want
But
to really
there's also
just
another
take
way
it
to
and, you
take
know what I
that
mean?
too.
Like, what's your take on that?
So the mere fact that he's outside of, with the illusion that's painted for us, he's outside of the concert and he feels like yelling out something absurd like, bombs away, right? That's akin to the kid who wants to pull the fire alarm at
Sure.
school just to, you know what I mean? He didn't say he would blow anything up. It's the I feel like just shaking things up by doing this rebellious act. How many kids in the 40s, I believe it was the 40s or the 50s, they had a whole law about this because kids were doing that, just walking into random public areas and yelling fire, and then people were getting killed. Like, these are things that happen, right? So the mere fact that he's mentioning it is just a testament to Eminem, the rebellious artist.
Well, another take from that, because you just said that, I just thought about it. It's like the boy who cried wolf, right? So he's not specifically mentioning the Manchester concert. This could be a concert at Madison Square Garden. He could be outside in the line saying bombs away just to see everybody run.
Yes.
Because some people want to watch the world burn, right? So it could be taken in different ways, but the main thing that we need to pay attention to is the awareness that he's bringing to the situation. Because ever since this incident happened, nobody said a thing about it. at all. We did the donations. You may have had the t-shirts, whatever. And then 2018 came and you forgot about Manchester. This is bringing it back up, but it's also bringing awareness to like these kind of situations, right? Why do these things happen? What can we learn from them? How can we prevent them? You know what I mean? Instead of just letting it fly by.
And I mean, it harkens back to the Columbine line that he had years ago, right? Where, like, I remember entire organizations saying that they need to stop Eminem and he should be arrested because he's inciting children to do this again. Meanwhile, I'm pretty sure we've had a shooting at a school almost every year since then.
So you can't point the finger at Eminem for just mentioning this in a song.
Yes, and
Why?
now people mention it in songs all the time, and it's not.
I remember that line was, even though it wasn't a curse, it was bleeped off the album.
It's still off the album.
Yeah, it is. Ironically, he says it shit 10 years later or whatever. No, I don't know what it was. But he said it on MMLP2 again, and it didn't get bleeped off that time. But it's just like the whole idea behind this album, I believe, is to bring awareness to these issues. So if he has to be the scapegoat for America to pay attention, I think he's willing to take that sacrifice. That's what it
But
seems like.
that's how he's always been, though, right? Like, and this is the part that disturbs me. So again, guilty conscience. Him and Dre brought up tons of examples of crazy situations that we constantly still to this day hear about in the news. But it did not get as much backlash immediately as this song did for one simple line.
You did bring up the Vegas incident, and not for nothing, people forget about shit. I went to Vegas a year after this happened at the same festival grounds, and I'll be honest, I didn't think about getting shot. Thought about having fun at a concert, didn't even think about it.
And
But
I totally understand.
what Eminem's doing with this is just like saying, hey guys, it's time to vote again. I watched the video. At the end of the video, he has somewhat of a political campaign there. If you go to Eminem.com/darkness, I haven't gone to the website yet, but it's like there's information on there to help you change or reform the gun laws in America. And I think, he even had a link saying vote.com or something like that. Pretty much he's trying to let us know, like, yo, we have to bring awareness to the gun laws, and we have to try to find a way to reform these gun laws so that these massive school shootings will stop. So that these people cannot buy 38 rifles and attend, or not even attend, or just lean over a hotel window and pop people in Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, we have to find a way to do this. And back to Dave Chappelle, he said something similar about gun violence. So at a certain point in time, it's like, when are we going to be able to make this change? When is it going to be too late? You know what I mean? Like,
No, and I agree. It's something that keeps coming up through different, various forms of medium, right? Artists talk about it, comedians talk about it, musicians talk about it. Nobody's listening. And the crazy thing is, they all keep saying the same thing. Like, yo, when you're going out there to vote and you're doing this and you're doing that, don't listen to guys like me who are telling you, yes, you should vote for this person and that person, because our interests are completely different. Right? And it's wild to think about it. Like, Eminem's been talking about this gun violence stuff for a minute, like pushing towards it. He brings it up for a reason, right? His daughter's not in a position where she's at school anymore. Like, he's got no skin in the game, but he's still pushing it. And then people will turn around and say, he's bad for the children.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting the backlash he's receiving from the Arianda incident is overshadowing the whole message of the album. But there's also other messages in the album. I don't want to just harken on that too long.
Yeah, no.
The
I would like
one
to say, though, One thing that people aren't making the connection with, and that I only recently thought about it, because I was thinking about the themes that M does, especially since, and I love the fact that this is very, oh, what's his name? Alfred Hitchcock orientated, right? Because Hitchcock's stories all have very deep meaning. Like, they're, what you see on the surface is not it. You have to think deeper. It's always a statement about society as a whole. So it's awesome to see two things that I'm a big fan of collide. But he always does these themes, right? And it's these darker themes, and there's a lot of darker meanings behind a lot of the stuff that he talks about. Whereas the same can be said from a different genre if you look at artists like Rob Zombie, who everyone used to, again, that was another one of those, don't let your kids listen to that, right? But now I was thinking about it. One of his songs is like, it's a, it was on a commercial for like some absurd thing. And I'm like, really? Really? Because this is one of those guys where people were fighting to end his career. And yet now his stuff, the same songs that you are against, are in commercials. And I'm wondering if something similar is going to happen later on down the road with Eminem. Like a lot of these songs that people are complaining about still.
I
Just
mean,
something to think about.
you have the current situation at hand, but again, people make a big deal out of things, and then once it dies down, we have that reflection period. Like when Lincoln first said, "Yo, let's abolish slavery," imagine the backlash he got, you know? And then later on down the road, it was like, you know what? This guy's not wrong. So maybe this album just needs more time to mature. Once it gets out and the right people hear it, maybe it'll be a tool for other people to create those proper protests or those proper usages of platforms to help enlighten those other minds. The one thing, like you said, the parallels with the deeper meaning and stuff. So darkness, it has a deep meaning. In the video and in the song, you can see and hear the parallel between him preparing to go on stage as a musician, and then you can see the Vegas shooter preparing for his mission. The other song that has a deep double meaning is Never Love Again, in which he's talking about the abuse of drugs, but he's also talking about never loving another female again. And those parallels he makes in that song is something deep. Juice WRLD, RIP, just died over this whole drug overdose. It's, I don't know if it's still alleged or if it's confirmed yet, so put a question mark on that. But with that being said, we tried to get that message out to the kids with KOD, and it didn't work. People are still doing the drugs. And then XXXTentacion, he was murdered, you know, and who else? Lil Peep, he died, and then Juice WRLD died, and now everybody's like starting to pay attention. Like, all right, we're losing all these young people in hip hop, and what's the correlation? And you know, these genres are starting to change up a little bit more. And
But,
go ahead.
and I do hate to interrupt, but I just have to ask you while we're at that point, is it a solid change or is it much like these little nitpicks at M's lines, right? Where it's just something quick and in the moment, and much like the Ariana Grande situation, it'll be forgotten about next year until someone else overdoses.
So that's up to the fans, I believe, because the fans are the ones buying and streaming the music. As long as you tell a hip hop artist that something works, or as long as you tell any creator that something works a certain way, they're going to keep pushing it. Look at the iPhone. Look how long it took Windows to change their UI, you know what I mean? Or GUI. So I think the fans have to take a stand and say, yo, let's actually stop supporting artists who do these drugs because they're hurting themselves. That was the biggest thing with Eminem, too. He was hurting himself for so long. And then when he started making sober music, people were chanting they wanted the drugged out Eminem back. It's like, you literally don't care about this person. You just care about the output of music. That's
I don't even
fucked.
think it's the output of music. I think it's something else because they were saying the same thing about Gucci, right? They were saying the same thing about Cuddy, actually. You know? And it's not like he started out on hard, any of them started out on hard drugs when they got into the rap game. Like, that evolved over time, you know? And I don't know, it's just crazy to think because, like I told you, I was watching something on YouTube where the older heads were co-signing. Oh, yeah, the older heads were co-signing on these newer cats. And there was an episode with Fat Joe, and he's watching through, and I don't really know their names because I don't listen to them like that. But he was watching through some
Typical
of the
old head.
videos. And in the one video, there's someone like literally injecting something into this system on camera, right? And it's just like, damn, son, we're at that point where that's in a music video. Because even he was taken back by it, like, yo, really? Like, just like that?
Yeah, that's nuts. That's
So it's
crazy.
like we say M doesn't give a fuck, but he doesn't. To an extent, though, because these new cats just have no cares about anything. Like, they don't care about life. They don't care. You know what I'm saying? So
Could be the substance is talking, you know what I
it
mean?
could be. It could be.
The impaired judgment.
But you would kind of figure, like, M is that guy to look up to then if you're at that point because he was there and look where he is now. Look what he's trying to do now.
Right. So with him talking about this substance abuse and the battle of addiction, it sheds light, but there needs to be more done, not just a song, right? But all these people that suffer with addiction, the biggest thing is that they try not to reach out to other people. They try to battle their demons in private, and that's the wrong way. We need to be able to allow ourselves to be available for those who are struggling, right? So if you were battling addiction and you couldn't tell me, what does that say about me as a person? What does that say about you as a person? You know what I mean? Because we're close, we talk every day. And if I didn't know that about you, then that means I never tried to make myself available enough for you to confide in. You know what I mean?
But it also means, too, that the person who was doing that is not, they're safeguarding themselves, right? They're putting up that wall to not let anyone in because they're vulnerable, too.
Right. And if they're putting up that wall, then that means that they don't feel comfortable allowing others in. Again, why don't they feel comfortable? Because they're not, the other person is not allowing that freedom of conversation to flow, that judgment-free conversation. You know what I mean?
And it's that fear of that rejection too. Like, oh, he doesn't understand me. He's not gonna want me to be around. Which ties neatly back into the whole thing of the whole overarching topic that we started with, which was that we're a little bit too sensitive about having our feelings hurt or being slightly offended or being rejected. And it's good that we still have people like M who are putting this stuff out there, or to an extent, even like Kanye, who are putting this stuff out there, because again, they both get a lot of backlash no matter what they do.
I mean, so I'm glad you brought that up because I actually, Rashad and I, we did an episode on Kanye's album, Jesus is King. I don't know if you heard that one, but he didn't receive as much backlash for that album. But because you brought him up, I want to say, like, it's great that he's on this path of redemption, if that's what it is. It's great that he's putting out this music that he loves and enjoys. Like, if this music is making him happy and the fans are rejoicing with him, I think that's great because it gets people away from violence and gets them on a path to God. You know what I mean? So Eminem's taking his own road to that same path, where maybe not to God, but like on that same path of like, get away from the violence. Look what violence does. He's painting that picture. Actually, kind of reminds me of Tupac a little bit, painting that picture of violence. You know, Tupac would paint these pictures of like the impoverished neighborhoods and, you know, all the liquor stores in the corner and like why blacks don't got no opportunities and stuff like that. I feel like M is doing something slightly like that with this gun reform. If you pay attention, you'll see it.
Well, yeah, I mean, even just the use of such descriptive words for grotesque scenes, right? That's gonna make everyone second guess doing some stuff, right? Because if you hear about how much it sucks to be on pills, you're not gonna do it. If you hear about how much it sucks to be a single parent, it's not gonna be that high. Like, we're in an age where, like, I gotta hand it to the younger cats, like, they're not popping out babies like cats and from my generation were.
It's because they all strung out. I'm sorry, it's not, no laughing matter.
Is not.
My fault.
But I mean, that was one thing. We had a lot of pictures, a lot of imagery being brought out about that, right? Through the music that I was, shit, Wu-Tang talked about a lot of the family, aesthetics, right? Growing up, being a dad, being a role model to the cats in your community. And they took their approach alongside of violence as well. But now, looking back, a lot of people are combing through their things and saying, well, oh, we were wrong. This is uplifting music. This is positive music. I'm pretty sure the same thing happened with NWA after that movie came out, to where people could see, like, oh, that's what they were trying to talk about. They're just painting a picture of their everyday life, and those who live it get to actually stand outside and look at it as if it was a movie and say, well, hey, somebody recognizes us.
Cool. I'm gonna stop you right there. So, Eminem is lyrically inclined. He is an all rights a wordsmith. He is the most proficient human being in the English language. And he uses all his tools to verbally create these pictures. The pictures that NWA, Wu-Tang, and the like have tried to paint, but he's doing it with such an extensive vocabulary. Like, you know how people say the expression of walking on eggshells? I've heard Eminem on numerous occasions literally describe somebody breaking open eggshells and he's walking around them. So, like, something like that, you know what I mean? Something so simple. He could have said it one way, but he's using all these adjectives and then these certain verbiage to like paint this picture. It's triggering certain illusions in the brain in which you can see this man's frame of mind.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think that's dope. That's pretty dope. Like, and I give him all the credit in the world for that because, like, even when I'm listening to this album, like, you can listen to it with a clear mind and you could miss a lot of things he's saying. With every replay, you start to pick up on these things. And if you're not doing anything else, like if you're not driving, and you just focus on this album, you will see those pictures that he's painting. And he does that with a lot of his songs. It's not just this album.
Oh, yeah, throughout his entire career, that's what got me into him in the first place. Even from My Name Is, like, the way that he describes just doing certain things, you can see it. Or how he used to organize certain skits, like the continuation of that skit from the Marshall Mathers LP2, that intro skit. That's a continuation off of an old one. And it's just like, son, like, I can see, like, I'll be driving listening to that, and I can see that scene happening as if it was a movie because of how well put together it is. And I know it's crazy to sit there and talk about a skit on an album and be like, oh, that's great. But think about the skits on Kamikaze where he's sitting there talking about
Yeah.
how he's going to track down a kid and punch him in the face because he said some shit to him online about his album that he didn't want to hear. But you can see it. You can see him sitting on the phone making that call.
Yeah.
And those are good things because a lot of people put skits out on their albums and it's just
They're
like,
irrelevant, yeah.
yeah, it's just all right. Skip, I don't skip
Yeah.
Eminem skits. I listen to them because they're hilarious.
Yeah, he made a song called Kill You, right? If I'm not mistaken. That was on the Marshall Mathers LP.
Yes.
All right. The song Kill You could be offensive in all his ways, right? He received backlash on that skit you're talking about because there was like, oh, Eminem, you're too old to be threatening little kids and, or YouTube viewers and stuff like that. But they said they wanted the old Eminem back, right? If he made a song about killing people and then he's just saying, I'm gonna go around and give this kid a piece of my mind. Not even saying the kid's like 16, he's just some internet user.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, come on. The sensitivity is crazy. Don't ask for the old M back, and then when you get a taste of it, go cower in the corner. No, let's not do that.
But
Anyways.
it's not even just that. It's the degree of which they take his stuff. Like the whole point of that skit was him poking fun of the whole fact that he's making that album in the first place.
Exactly.
Where it's like, oh, this is what they're gonna say. Again, I say it to you all the time. When you think about what M does on albums, think back to 8 Mile, because it's not too far off of how M actually thinks when he goes about doing this stuff. Like, oh man, they're gonna try and shoot me with this. So I'm gonna shoot myself in that same spot first. Throw them off the game, and then I'm gonna catch them when they're off guard. So it's like a lot of the stuff that people come at him for are the little bits of bait that he throws at you to come at him for. And they don't even realize what they're doing.
Until he hits you with the kill shot.
Yep.
Now, there's a track on this album called Stepdad, and it's not really one of my favorite tracks, but I can see the value in making a song like this. For those who haven't heard the album yet, there's going to be some spoilers to this song. And because I don't like the song as much, I don't want you to not listen to the song. Go listen to it. It is a good song. He talks about a kid's relationship with the step pops. And the skit is portraying the father or the stepfather yelling at the little kid about turning off the kitchen light. And the kid's like, nah, I turned it off. I swear. It wasn't me, I swear. And then stepdad's like, nah, I'm gonna get you for this. You know what I mean? You don't listen. That's your problem. Fast forward to the song, the step pops turns out to be this abusive stepfather. And the kid even says at one point, like, yo, I literally watched you turn on that light. And now you're blaming me. And you're telling my mom that I left it on. You did that on purpose. So that message right there for me is just capitalizing on how sometimes women, they get so blinded by having a dude in their life. Not a good dude, but just a dude in which they'll put up with anything to keep that dude around. And in that same turn, you may be manipulated by this dude because this step pops is definitely manipulating the mother, saying, look how bad your kid is. I turned him turn off the light. And the stepdad is the one who left it on purpose, just to portray that this kid is a problem, just to get the kid in trouble. Like, who is so manipulative and vindictive that they would do such a thing like this? You know what I mean? But M is creating this situation. The reason why I don't like this song is because it doesn't portray to me, it doesn't speak to me, but I can see how it speaks to everybody else who may be involved in those situations. So I want to say with this song, he's shedding light on these situations in which moms, single moms, you may find yourself in. Kids may find themselves in with the step pops. You know what I mean? And stepfathers, you gotta do better.
No, and it's one of those, be careful who you bring around your children, right? And don't always think that, because there are a lot of people out there who are like that, where it's like, if your kid is telling you something, especially in this day and age, your kid is telling you something and you just ignore it. And it goes both ways too. Like, it's not just women. It's with dudes too. Because someone who's trying to come into your life, it's just something about us humans where instinctively we try and get rid of the past. Anything before us doesn't matter. It's here, it's now. It's all about us, right? You see it in the rap game with the younger generation, right? They don't care about those who were before them. In fact, most don't even know about those who were before them outside of the 2000s rappers, right? You see it with historical wars, right? Whoever wins, they erase all the past of what was there before, so you can't go back. Like, there's no going back. There's only what we give you, right? And it's just something that we do, and I think it's important because M's been saying stuff like this for a while. It's important to hear out the youth, to hear out anybody in that type of situation, and not just rely on the word of the new person involved, because that person is going to try and do whatever they can to get in as deep as they can,
That's
because they
true.
see the old thing as kind of a threat, right?
Right. A lot of times, I think, so we're gonna go with the stepfather here. If a man is coming into a woman's life and maybe he's never had a kid before, he may want to have a kid with this woman and she already has a kid. For some reason, he may harbor some type of resentment, animosity, or jealousy towards this little kid and may see him as an issue and try to be manipulative to push him out the way. Or maybe the stepfather doesn't like the mom's ex-boyfriend, who would be the kid's father, and now he's trying to create this wedge in between them so he can slide his way in there and kind of just regulate things. We see this all the time. They portray these kind of things in movies. And with this kind of situation, I think the mom would have to be careful about who she brings around her son. She has to vet him out. So if you're thinking about this track and like excuse me, Eminem actual life, I would think back to 8 Mile when he was poor as shit. And his mom would bring any dude around the house who had some type of money to help the bills, you know what I mean? And he would have to suffer this punishment. Moms, you can't do that shit anymore. You know what I mean? Like, if a guy has money, but he's not the right kind of guy, you can't rely on him to do these things to you, for you. You can't let him be around your kid if he's going to harm you in any way or harm your kid in any way. We have to properly vet these people. I don't remember what episode it was, but Rashad and I, we talked about having non-negotiables. And Chad, we've talked about this as well a couple times.
Yes. I think that was like either your first or second
Yeah, I
episode.
think so. It was pretty early on. But the non-negotiables help define what kind of person you want around you, your kids, your family. There's a reason why when you date somebody, you let them meet your friends and your family, because your family and friends help you vet that person. They kind of see
Yep.
things that you can't see because love is blind. You know what I mean? And if
Not
you're just
just
doing this for the
that.
money, that's blind too. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, not just that. It's like someone can put up an act for you because they know what you like, right? They may be able to read you. Doesn't mean they're going to be able to read your mom or your sister or your cousin or your best friend or your best friend's boyfriend, right? Like, so by having them meet all of these different people, they can't fake it, you know? Things like, how they react around your pets, how they react around your kids, how they react around your coworkers. Like, that's going to say a lot. That shows you a lot. So by keeping someone a secret all the time, it's detrimental to your growth, right? Then vice versa, oversharing is also a bad thing. And I just want to put that out there because I'm sorry, man. I've been saying this since MySpace. We don't need to know about every, like, I should not know the intimate nature of your relationship just based off of me scrolling through my feed in the morning trying to look for some funny memes. Like, I shouldn't.
All right, guys, thanks for joining. It's been a session of Chad's What Grinds My Gears.
No, but I mean, it's one of those things, man. Like, we gotta stop doing that. Like, you're in a relationship with someone else, not with them and the internet.
Facebook.
Like, it's gotta be stopped.
Right.
But yeah,
And you're
no,
gonna do it on my
I do don't mind
podcast.
to. I do don't mind to. But no, I mean, it's true though, right? Like, M put out a very good point, especially in this day and age where, again, he knows who's listening to these albums, right? From multiple spectrums. So you have the kid who's probably going through this where it's like, hey, man, it's not going to last forever. I've been through it, right? And that's what gives those listeners hope. That I remember that's what was a huge thing for my listener basis when we were kids listening to him, where it was like, yo, man, this cat used to get picked on. Now look where he's at. Cool. I ain't got shit to worry about. Right? He's also making it, like you said, for the parents who are in those situations where their kids are telling them something and they're not listening to it, whether it's about a family member, new boyfriend that's in the picture, step parent, parent, right? If you and your parent, you and the
The
child's
other parent.
other parent are split up, they might be telling you something. And I've heard crazy stories following that trend just about our little area that we were in, right? So it's like that thing, or even at school, they might be telling you, like, hey, man, something's happening at school or at church or whatever, and you're just not paying attention to them. So he's shedding a lot of light on a lot of different things through that one song, and it's important. But again, that's overshadowed by things that aren't really that complex.
Very well worded. I was gonna say it brought to my mind the Stepdad song is also a form of bullying. He does kind of allude to that as well. So I mean, a lot of times we think bullying is just your peers, but bullying takes form in anything, I guess. You know, because you could be bullied from the internet, you could be bullied by your peers, bullied by people that are older than you, people that are younger than you,
Your
whatever.
coach, right? Like, I grew up with
People in
those,
any position,
yeah, I grew up with those 80s crazy movies, and I love the Karate Kid. But let's be real, Cobra Kai students were bullied by their own teacher. That's a fact, and that happens in football, it happens in wrestling. It happens, and not everyone is strong enough to take the approach. Like, I forget who it was, one of these MMA athletes who were talking about how they had to go through it to try and wrestle in college. And it got to a point where they couldn't take it anymore. And this is a person who, if you're at college, you're basically an adult. I don't want to say you are an adult because your mind's still forming as an independent, but you are a pre-adult. We'll say it like that, right? You're cognizant enough about enough things in the world to be able to handle yourself in certain situations. But if you get broken to the point where you're ready to throw it all away, that's a huge problem because that's not on the person who's the victim in that standpoint, right? Now you can't go to someone's parent. Like, you're not going to go to a 50-year-old man's parent and say, "Hey, your son's bullying me." Right? All right. And these are those things that we have to look at. And it's good that he's showing, again, that light on these subjects from a different point of view. Because, again, everyone's looking at bullying as cyberbullying or bullying at school.
So one way he could easily go about this would be to just create one line in the song, like most rappers do, most artists do that. They create one line in the song and then that's it. Oh, stop bullying, that's bad. And they move on. Eminem is literally putting himself in this situation. He's taking the first person brunt of it all. And that's a lot of his songs are first person. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he's gone through this by himself or he's experienced this. It just means like we can see it from his eyes. And if our story, pretty much aligns with his story, that means we should get help. We should figure out a certain situation, or figure out a way out of a certain situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he's also showcasing some of those early warning signs too.
Yeah, that's true too, with the verbal abuse in that song. The verbal abuse first and then the physical abuse. Yeah. The negligence. Shit, it's a lot to unpack. And that's the biggest thing with this album. It is a lot to unpack.
Which
I
is what
mean,
makes it so great.
yeah. I've been running through a lot of these punchlines and everything like that, and all these concepts and stories, and I'm not even like one fourth of the way through. Like, I just know there's so much more to unfold.
So, I'm starting to wonder, right? Because I personally like things that I have to sit down and listen to and unpack and then take what I'm hearing and relate it back to my own life and see, like, is there something that I'm missing? Is there something that I may have overlooked? How can I better myself by hearing this message? Always been like that. That's why I like conscious rap. But is there a point where it's too much, right? Again, you know me, I'm also a huge Lupe Fiasco fan. His last album was amazing, but it's a lot, son. It was a lot to the point where I'm just like, I don't like, after a few spins, I was like, I don't really want to have to sit there and hit the encyclopedia on all this to understand it, which is bad on my part, right? But knowing that, and then having someone else who then broke down that stuff, and I listened to it and go, oh, so this is what he was alluding to. This is okay. And then going back and hearing through it with that new gained knowledge and perspective, it got even 10, like it got 20 times better. Is that the case that we're seeing then with M's latest work, where everyone keeps jabbing at it?
I don't think this album is going to lose replay value. I would like when I first heard it, and then I heard it again, I was like, yo, this might be the best album of 2020. And we just started. But then I remembered, then I remembered J. Cole's coming out and Kendrick's coming out, and we might get a Drake album. I don't know. I don't know what Drake's doing. But this is pretty much in line with one of the greatest rap albums of this year. And I don't think it's going to lose any replay value at all. Again, there's certain songs that people may skip, but for the most part, I find it amazing, like this wordplay. And even once you got it all figured out, like you said, it makes it 20 times better to listen to. I think once people figure out the meanings behind it, one is up to us to take action based on the stories he's telling, right? But two, as far as in regards to replay value, once you figure out that message that he's saying, I think the next thing is getting down his flow because everybody wants to, well, all the stans want to be the biggest Eminem fan possible. So understanding his flows and the way he's manipulated certain words and the onomatopoeia and the homophones, all that stuff, the syllables, I think it's going to be like a joy to try to like recite what he's saying word for word. And the only way you're going to get that is by the replay value. The one article I read, it was talking about, I think he did 239 syllables rhymed within 30 seconds. He's breaking his own records. And that's dope. Like, I would like to recite the lyrics for Godzilla word for word. So I know I'll be rocking this genre all year long. I hope he do a concert because I want to see him perform that live.
I mean, you definitely said something that gives me hope, right? The joy of listening to the album and unpacking everything. I hope that a lot of people find that joy. Because again, the reason why I brought up the whole Lupe thing is that we live in a very, very short attention span world. So I'm worried that not a lot of people are going to give it the cycle throughs that it deserves to unpack everything because we're lazy.
Yeah,
Right?
but who else is dropping early in January? Like, a lot of people don't drop early in the year. A lot of people aim for those summer albums and those fall albums. J. Cole's album is called The Fall Off, so he might be dropping that in the fall sometime. You know, if anything he's taught us that